Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. Bert Helfer.
Bert, how are you?
Big as life and twice as natural, Johnny. How goes it with you?
Up until 5 seconds ago, not so good.
Oh, trouble.
Well, not a thing, not now.
What do you mean?
Well, 5 seconds ago, I didn't have an assignment to work on to help pay the rent. Now I have.
Oh.
Well, haven't I?
I don't know. Have you?
Well, surely you didn't call just to pass the time of day.
Of course not.
Well, then?
What are you doing for lunch, Johnny?
Lunch?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well?
Having it with you, I suppose.
Good. How's about meeting me over at the Hearthstone in, say, 15, 20 minutes?
Can't see any reason why not.
And I'll foot the bill.
Oh, I see. Okay, Bert, shall I arrive with bags packed, ready to travel?
Travel? Where to?
Wherever I have to go on this insurance investigation you're going to hand me.
Now, who said anything about an investigation?
When you made this call, when you offered to buy lunch? And knowing you the way I do, don't kid me, Bert.
No, you and that suspicious mind you.
Oh, why, sure.
Listen, we haven't seen each other in a long time, and I just thought we could tie on a bib and talk, that's all.
Yeah? Talk about what?
Oh, skates and skis and fishing and golf and girls and... Hey, speaking of girls, Johnny...
Now, there's something that finally makes sense.
Now, yeah, listen. You know that luscious, lovely little Lucy Harmon, don't you?
Lucy Harmon?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
But if she's all of that, Bert, what about her?
Nothing, nothing. But with your great big eye for charm and beauty and the fair sex, I just thought you might have known her.
What about her, Bert?
Nothing. Not a thing. Honestly?
Come on now, Sunshine. That bush you're beating around is getting pretty thick.
What? What are you talking about?
You tell me.
Oh, Johnny, you and that suspicious mind of yours.
You said that.
I'll see you at the Hearthstone, okay? Well?
Okay, Bert. Okay.
CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Attention, Bert Helfer, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Coin of the Realm matter. Expense account item one. A dollar even for a cab into the Hearthstone, where Bert had already arrived, taken a table, and was toying with the olive in a pair of martinis.
Well, what took you so long, Johnny?
Hi, Bert.
I mean, these martinis are liable to get cold.
Oh, we can't let a thing like that happen. Go.
To the gods and goddesses.
And us.
First one of the day really sets my teeth on edge.
Well, my first one of the day usually doesn't come till after 5 p.m., but as long as you already have them sitting here.
Well, you know how it is. First time we've been together in a long time, kind of calls for celebration.
Of course.
And let's face it, Johnny, a couple of these do sort of help to get the conversation rolling.
Conversation about what, Bud?
Well, I'm sure you don't want to talk religion or politics.
You're so right.
And I gave up skating and skiing after I busted an ankle last winter.
Chicken?
Fishing's out of season, and it's too cold for golf unless you happen to be a diehard, and I'm not, and I don't think you are.
Check.
But girls, now there's something a couple of gay young bucks like you and I can always talk about. Right, Johnny?
All right, Bert, let's have it.
What?
You mentioned Lucy Harmon. Well?
I thought you said you didn't know her.
I don't.
I just don't understand, huh?
Hmm?
Well, I always thought you were the one guy who knew them all. All the really smart, charming, pretty ones, that is. And Johnny, so help me, just one look at that Lucy, you'd completely flip your lid. She's about 5'3", blonde hair, green eyes, Johnny.
Mm.
And a figure that would make any Miss America hang her head in shame. Ah, here. Let me show you this picture of her. Here. Now, how do you like them grapes?
Hey, not bad.
Not bad, he said.
All right, she's lovely. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous.
She is an ever-living doll. Delovious, that's the word.
That's a word?
And Johnny, she's the only gal ever made me think seriously of putting on the ball and chain. Only trouble was she wouldn't have me or my empty pocketbook. She's what's made me what I am today. A heartbroken old bachelor.
Bird, an old roué like you with a broken heart.
Well, but she's a dream, Johnny.
All right, Bert, you've made your point. How, when, and where do I meet her?
Now, that's just it. You gotta find her first.
What?
Now, don't tell me you don't want to. I mean, to meet up with this delicious little cookie.
Oh, after all that buildup, I wouldn't dare say no.
You gotta find her, Johnny. And bring her back to me.
Well, why, Bert, if she's already turned you down?
So I can hand over the 191 G's.
The what?
Sure. 191,000 insurance money.
Insurance on what?
On her husband, Jerry.
Her husband?
Right. So her real name is Lucy Harmon Nichols.
Oh, fine. Pal. You give me the big pitch, get me all excited about her, and then... Wait a minute. Jerry Nichols?
The late Gerald K. Nichols.
Playboy.
Playboy.
Heir to the old Nichols oil fortune.
Right, that he and Lucy took exactly 3.5 years to reduce to just exactly nothing.
Well, wait a minute now, but something happened to him out in the West Coast.
That's right, that's right. He disappeared from around here one day, and the next thing they knew, he'd run his car off a cliff into the blue Pacific just north of glamorous Malibu Beach.
Uh-huh.
They managed to salvage what was left of the car, but no sign of his body was ever found.
I thought that was supposed to have been a suicide.
Yeah, that's what the company hoped, but they couldn't prove it. So now we've got to pay her off to the tune of 191 grand.
Oh, my. All this beauty and all that money. Not bad.
Well, I kind of thought it might bring out the beast in you, Johnny. And if you have ever thought of standing up in front of a preacher, you could do a lot worse.
Well, now, take it easy, will you?
Trouble is, though, now she's disappeared. At least she doesn't answer the phone or the letter I sent to the little apartment she lives in.
No.
And if you can find her, and if you are the judge of female pulchritude I think you are, if you're half the charmer that I know you are, well, maybe you can take your choice. Huh? Your regular commission on that nearly $200,000... or the hand of the beautiful widow herself. Maybe both. Now, what do you say? You want to have a look?
Ah, you've talked me into it.
It's no joke that years ago, traveling salesmen were greeted with great delight at most farms. Widely separated from friends, no telephone, no radio, no ready communication of any kind with other people, farm folks were as pleased at the prospect of company as they were at the prospect of looking at new merchandise. A bit of company to lighten up the morning's work is still a pleasure to folks at home. That's why so many of them make a weekday habit of the CBS Radio Network's daytime stars. Arthur Godfrey, Art Linkletter, Gary Moore, Bing Crosby, and Rosemary Clooney, a host of sparkling company literally at their fingertips. And what's happened to the traveling salesman? Well, you'll find any number of them driving along the highway on a weekday morning enjoying company of their own choosing. Arthur Godfrey, Art Linkletter, Gary Moore, Bing Crosby, and Rosemary Clooney. When it comes to pleasant company, no matter who you are or where you live or what you're doing, you'll find a morning full of it every day, Monday through Friday, here at the Stars Address.
Expense account item 2, after the lunch with Bert Helfer, another buck for another taxi, this time to the rather seedy Cosgrave apartment. There I learned from a doorman that Mrs. Jerry Nichols...
Only, now you see, everybody calls her Miss Lucy Harmon again. You see what I mean?
That Lucy Harmon hadn't been around for several days. However, there was nothing unusual about that. She'd been going away quite frequently of late. He didn't know where, though. To make sure that we were talking about the same person, I showed him the picture Bert had given me, and after a long, wistful look at it,
yep, that's her, all right. Sure is mighty beautiful, ain't she?
As beautiful as this picture seems to show her?
A lot more than that shows, mister. You ask me, there's nobody else like her in this whole entire world.
Yeah, well...
But I can't say I blame a young fellow like you wanting to meet up with her.
Tell me this.
You're the first one to come to see her, you know. At least that I know of. She's been living here close to 5 months now. You know, since that husband of hers died out west somewhere, she had to sell off that house they had to give her some living money.
Look, my name is Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator.
Invest? You mean like a private eye?
Well, something like that. Look, here are my credentials.
Hey, now, how about that?
Yeah, so, what I would like is, to have the key to Miss Harmon's apartment.
Well, now, wait a minute, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless you got some kind of warrant from the police or something, Mr.
What? Imagine that, that five spot that just fluttered down. You always go around dropping $5 bills on the floor of this lobby?
No, what do you know? Sure looks like somebody dropped one, don't it?
Well, I hope you're not going to just leave it there.
Well, as long as you don't claim it.
Not me.
And here. But, just the same, mister, if the boss ever found out I let you in her apartment, I mean without a warrant or something.
Now, look at that. Is that another five spot I see? Or maybe it's that warrant or something you're talking about.
Now, of course, the light in here ain't so good. Here, now, I'll tell you what, mister.
Yeah?
You, sort of want to look after these keys of mine while I look at these things outside in the daylight?
Good idea.
And, of course, if maybe you should find another one of these five spots.
Could be.
Maybe upstairs, around apartment number 4A.
I'll let you know. Item 3. Obviously, it's $15 for a warrant or something. Apartment 4A was not exactly an orderly one. Apparently only a temporary affair for Lucy Harmon. Most of her clothes were still in a couple of open wardrobe trunks in the middle of the living room floor. Handbags and shoes, lingerie, stockings scattered about instead of tucked away in drawers and closets. So maybe she figured on going away and living somewhere else after collecting the insurance money. And why not? But these frequent trips. Why? And to where? Then in a purse inside one of the handbags, I found a possible clue. Not that folder for an airplane ticket. That meant nothing because it gave no indication of a destination. But some money. Not very much, and there was nothing unusual about the $22 in bills. No, it was the pennies and nickels and silver. In spite of the dates on them, and some of them were pretty old, those coins were as clean and shiny as though they'd just come out of the mint. That rang the bell. A big one. Okay. Item 4 is $6 for a cab out to Bradley Field. Item 5, $175.70, plane fare, and I was on my way. Frankly, it wasn't until after we got airborne that I began to kick myself for having so little to go on. But after a brief stopover in Chicago for more passengers that I slept through, and only a little while before we got to the end of the line, I woke up and did a double take. Among the new passengers, up near the front, was, believe it or not, the girl I was looking for, Lucy Harmon. No question of it. And the old doorman back at the apartment had been right. There couldn't possibly be another girl so beautiful. And she matched the picture I had exactly. The seat beside her was empty, and my impulse was to barge up to her, introduce myself, and tell her what it was all about. But then a little bell in the back of my head kind of tinkled again, so instead, on the excuse of going up forward to pick a magazine out of a rack, and then on the further excuse of a completely non-existent bump in the air, I half stumbled and half fell into that empty seat.
Oh!
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I got in the way of my own feet. Oh, I'm afraid I tore this newspaper you were in. Can I get you another one?
No, it doesn't really matter. I was only...
What's the matter?
Well, I've seen you somewhere before, I'm sure of it.
Well, I can't imagine where.
Well, what's your name?
My name? Well,
No, wait. I remember now. I've seen your picture in the papers.
You have?
It's one of those crime things a couple of months ago.
Oh, on my honor, miss, I'm an honest man.
No, you know what I mean. You were the... Of course I know who you are. You're Johnny Dollar, the insurance investigator. Well, aren't you?
I cannot tell a lie.
Oh, Johnny, I am so glad to see you. May I call you Johnny?
Why, of course you can.
Maybe you can help me. Johnny, can you? Or have they got you all tied up in some insurance case that'll take all of your time? Are you staying over in San Francisco?
Probably.
On a case?
Well, just a little investigation for one of the insurance companies.
But maybe you'll have some time to help me, too?
Please? Well, that depends. What seems to be the problem, Miss,
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even think. My name is Edith.
What?
Edith Harmon.
Edith?
Well, you look surprised.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Oh, Of course, coming from Hartford yourself, you probably know her.
Her?
My sister, my twin sister that I'm going to San Francisco to look for.
Your twin sister?
Yes. Her name is Lucy. Lucy Hahn.
So that was it. Lucy Harmon's twin. And every bit as beautiful as Lucy's picture. What if this trip across the country had been nothing more than a hunch? If it meant working hand in hand with a doll like this, I should have more of them.
Now listen, Johnny.
Oh, I'm all ears.
I've been worried about Lucy ever since Jerry, her husband, died in a terrible accident. So I went to Hartford to see her.
Oh?
But she wasn't there. Nobody seemed to know where she'd gone or why. That worried me all the more, so I flew to Chicago, where she and Jerry had lived once. But no sign of her. Nobody knew anything about her.
Oh.
Well, then I remembered they used to have a lot of friends in San Francisco in the old days, so I figured if they're still here, she might have come here to see them.
Good thinking. Do you know your way around San Francisco?
Oh, yes, very well.
All right, then.
Oh, darn it.
What?
Oh, the light is on to fasten our seatbelt.
Oh.
That means we're about to land, so there's no time to talk now. But listen, where will you be staying?
The Huntington, up on Nob Hill.
All right. I'll be at the Sheraton Palace. And, Johnny.
Yeah?
Would you take me to dinner tonight so I can tell you the rest and we can sort of organize our plans? That is, if you will help me.
Well, you know I will, Edith.
All right. Then I'll call you at the Huntington as soon as I can unpack and dress. You can come over and meet me.
All right.
Then I'll see you tonight. All right?
All right. It wasn't necessary to go back to my own seat, but I did. And that's why she was able to get off the plane well ahead of me. Why, she was long gone by the time I got through to the baggage pickup stand. And now, suddenly, things began to add up. As soon as I got to the Huntington, I put in a long-distance call. That's item 6, 375.
Johnny, where the devil are you? What are you up to?
Plenty, Bert. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Huh?
Yes, now listen, you can tell me just two things.
Well, sure, if I can.
All right, now.
In spite of the fact it's long after working hours back here, and I ought to charge you overtime for my valuable services.
Bert.
But what in the name of common sense are you doing in San Francisco?
Bert, will you listen? Two questions.
Shoot.
At Lucy Harmon's apartment, before I left there, I told the doorman that if Lucy showed up, he was to call you immediately.
The answer to that one is no. I haven't heard a word from him.
All right, then. Now, question number two.
Yeah?
How well do you know Lucy's twin sister, Edith?
Lucy has a sister? A twin? Are you kidding?
That's all I wanted to know. Item 7, 10 cents for another call, this one to the Sheraton Palace. As I fully expected now, and Edith Harmon had not registered there. Okay. A simple little clue. A few coins in Lucy Harmon's purse there in her Hartford apartment got me this far, and if I was lucky, would now lead me to Lucy herself. I tore on over to the St. Francis Hotel. There I flashed my credentials at the desk clerk, showed him the picture I carried.
Yes, Mr. Dollar, the woman in the picture and her husband have been with us for quite some time now.
And her husband?
Her name is Mrs. Charles Kenworthy. Beautiful, isn't she?
Mrs. Charles Kenworthy?
You sound as though you think she might be someone else.
Well, I know darn well she is.
Really?
Do they, live here all the time?
Well, actually, she seems to be away a good deal.
Well, she does.
And as for Mr. Kenworthy, well, I've seen him so seldom since they moved in. And with that beard he's growing.
Well, he wears a beard now.
Well, what I mean is that if he were to walk up to this desk, I'm not even sure I'd recognize him.
Then it all figures.
What, sir?
Is he in the room now?
Well, I can call and find out.
No, don't bother him.
I do know that she came in a few minutes ago.
All right, then. Let me have the number of the room. Transom over the door of the room was wide open. The sound effects were loud and clear, of drawers being hastily emptied, of clothes being yanked off hangers, and finally the unmistakable sound of suitcases being closed and locked and pushed open toward the door, and the conversation that leaped out over that transom.
Yes, 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 I did exactly as always. I stayed over in Chicago long enough to be sure that nobody was following me the way I always do.
Well, a lot of good it did. Johnny Dollar aboard the same plane. Now look, if he's in this town, I want out. Didn't you see him, Lucy? Didn't you have sense enough to get off and take another flight?
And you, he doesn't suspect a thing, and by the time he finds out I have no sister, that insurance money on your debt will have been paid and we'll be out of the country. Why should he suspect anything?
Well, I still don't like his being around here. If he finds out I'm still alive...
Relax, will you? Right now, he's quietly sitting in his room over there at the Huntington, waiting for me to call him.
Yeah, that was another stupid thing to do, Lucy. When he doesn't hear from you, if he's half as smart as I've heard he is... I'll let it go. Everything packed?
Yes, everything.
You have the money ready so we can pay off the clerk without wasting any time?
Yes, but if you're so scared, why don't we just sneak out the back way?
What, and make everybody suspicious of us? You are out of your mind. Now open the door for me and let's get out of here.
Anything you say, my pet. Johnny.
What?
Johnny Dollar.
That's right, Lucy.
Johnny Dollar. Out of my way, Lucy.
Hold it. Don't reach for anything but the ceiling, Jerry.
Okay, Dollar. You win.
Yes, Bert. That fatal accident of Jerry Nichols was a complete phony. He simply slid his car over the cliff into the ocean and dropped out of sight.
So that Lucy would be able to collect on his policy.
Right. One of the oldest gags of all.
Well, Johnny, baby, drink up, huh? You know something?
Mm-hmm.
You have saved the company 191 G's.
Except for my expense account and my commission.
So just add them up and I'll send you a check.
Then the lunch is on me, Bert.
Now listen, tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever sent you on out to San Francisco? And how under the sun did you ever know to look for them at the St. Francis?
A handful of coins she'd left there in her apartment from one of her previous trips.
A handful of coins?
Mm-hmm. Just as bright and as shiny as the day they were stamped out by the U.S. Mint. In spite of the age of some of them.
I don't get it.
Look, Bert. That nice, clean money is a kind of a trademark for the St. Francis. All the change they give you is carefully cleaned and polished. Once you've been there and been handed some of it, you never forget it. It's as easy as that. Yep, one of the oldest rackets of the bunch. But they still keep trying it. And getting caught. Expense account total, in addition to that nice, juicy commission, call it $400 even. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr., music supervision by Ethel Huber. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Jerry Keene as Lucy Harmon, William Redfield as Bert Helfer, Larry Haynes as Jerry Nichols, Doug Parkhurst as the doorman, Herb Duncan as the clerk. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Art Hanna speaking.